Christian Parenting.
Welcome to the Living Wholehearted Podcast. We are Jeff and Tara Mattson, a husband and wife team who is shrinking the integrity gap in our own lives and helping others do the same. I'm a leadership and organizational development coach, and Tara is a licensed marriage and family therapist.
We believe that if you have a following, you are a leader, and how you lead matters. Whether you are leading in the home, work, or community, we are bringing you biblical, clinical, and relational wisdom to help you in every relationship that matters most to you. None of us do this perfectly, but we are leaning into the reality of our humanity and profound wisdom of grace. So today we have author and podcaster Rebecca George. She's here to help us understand her new book entitled Do the Thing, Gospel-Centered Goals, Gumption and Grace for the Go-Getter Girl. I love that title, Rebecca. Rebecca is the founder of Radical Radiance, a podcast community where listeners are equipped to blend what they love with what Jesus is doing and who he's made them to be and shine. She's a podcaster, speaker, writer, and certified career coach whose greatest joy in life is discipling others to pursue their passions in a way that builds the kingdom. She's married to Dustin, the senior pastor of a church in East Tennessee. We are so glad to have you, Rebecca.
Oh, thank you, Tara. I'm so happy to be with you today.
I love it. So here I'm up in Oregon and it's cold still. We just had snow this week and it is April. I know this won't air for a few months, but it has just been freezing. What's it like over there in Tennessee?
It just now got warm in Tennessee, which is so lovely. It is, I think, in the 80s, the lower 80s today, which is so dreamy. And so it was the first day of spring that I felt like I could really wear a spring outfit. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and
I
so it. It's lovely over here. I'm excited.
Good. I'm happy for you. I'll contain my jealousy over here. Well, most of the time we love to hear people's stories behind their ministry and their work and their call, because as leaders, a lot of us who are serving and giving don't really take time to understand what has happened in our stories that is shaping the call that God has intended for our life. And so it also just helps our listeners get to know you a little bit. But what in your story has played a role in what you're doing today?
Yeah.
Why don't we start there?
I love that. Well, about 10 years ago, my mom went through a breast cancer journey that, praise the Lord, we're 10 years on the other side of, and she's a cancer survivor now. But as she went through and walked through that season of surgery and chemotherapy and radiation, God led me to start a ministry that I had for about 5 or 6 years, where we donated handmade hats and handwritten letters of encouragement into cancer treatment centers all over the country. We did work with St. Jude and MD Anderson and some really incredible organizations. And as I did that work, and you'll relate to this, Tara, I would get invited to speak at church groups or women's groups, Bible studies, and just share about how they could get involved in the ministry. And as I did that, I would have these moments when I would step off stage. And to me, Tara, this is where I think you'll relate. I think some of the most special conversations or parts of speaking for me actually happen when you're not on stage. It happened after you speak and get to actually have conversations with women. And so as I began to do that, I would have these conversations of, man, I love what God did through your mom's story and the ministry he brought about. And man, I feel like I have my own version of that. I feel my heart stirred towards maybe a specific issue I see in the world or a need that I feel that my gifts and talents could meet. And almost every time I would sense just a shift as they would begin to talk about their assignment that they felt called to. And sometimes it was fear. Sometimes it was insecurity. Sometimes it was comparison and thinking somebody out there is already doing it maybe better than I could. Am I the girl for that job? Those types of tensions. And I had enough of those conversations that led me to a place of, man, if I were to ever write a book, I think I would want to unpack some of these things that we all walk through as women in our calling. And not so much offer this like perfectly tied up in a bow solution, right? Because we're human and we're going to experience things like fear and doubt and things like that. But in those moments, are we anchoring ourselves to truths that we find in God's word so that we know where to turn when we have those moments? And I would say becoming an author and writing books has been most of my life, a dream of mine. And so as you and I talked before we got on, this is my first book, and it felt like a very natural place to start for me, is just unpacking how do we see our gifts and talents and how we're using them from a really gospel-centered place. So I think that's kind of the thread that's been weaving throughout my life for the last several years.
I love it. Okay, so we're going to anchor this conversation in a couple little themes, and I'll just paint them for us. And the first theme that I hear there is just this desire in every person, but we'll speak to women specifically, every woman's heart where she's like, there's something stirring in me. And is this a thing? Am I supposed to do something about this? So we'll talk through that. And then also just maybe even to the authors out there, I think there's I hear a lot of people who want to write or imagine writing, but kind of aren't sure if that could ever be them. And I heard you say that was a desire of your heart from even a young age. And here you are publishing your first book. So I kind of want to take people behind the scenes a little bit.
Oh, I love having that
conversation.
That's
helpful. I know a lot of listeners who are like, oh, I want to learn more. Please tell me more. I get those questions all the time, Rebecca, and I'm sure you do too.
Yeah.
And then that last piece of kind of the difference between chasing after and living in that cultural kind of norm, even in the church, but chasing after your dream at no cost or at all cost, and not letting anyone stand in your way versus that gospel-centered dream living, going after something. I'd love to tease that out there. So let's start with the first thing.
I love it.
First thing, speaking about, the desires of people's hearts, how do you see the difference as people are working through when it's just kind of a little seed to when you're supposed to plant it and act on it? Let me give some principles or things that you've learned from your own story or that you share in your book that would help those kind of going, where am I at in this process?
Sure.
When do I start? How do I start?
Oh, yeah. I love this conversation. And we actually start the book with this because I think we have to establish that in order for us to take those next steps, right? And so, I used a word at the very beginning, and as you teed off that question of telling a little bit of my story, and I used the word thread. And so as we talk about our thing that God might be calling us to do, I think that's a good word for us to keep in mind, right? As you look over the course of your life, is there a thread that you see of something that maybe in a ministry capacity, maybe in corporate America, maybe within your own family, you see that thread at play in maybe an assignment God's given you, and that particular thread feels like something that you're naturally gifted at doing. Doing that particular thing brings you joy. Maybe you lose track of time when you're doing that particular thing because it's just naturally kind of in your bones, if you will, right? And I think, for me and you, we could probably argue just encouraging and equipping women might be one of those threads that has certainly ran its course in my life and certainly earmarks some of the work that I do today, right? And so for listeners coming to the conversation, that might spur some ideas of some of those things in your own life. And there's actually an exercise that I love walking women through. And so I think it's something that you could put a pin in for now and maybe walk through with the Lord in the days to come, maybe in a journal. But it is a Venn diagram that I actually walk women through that I think is really helpful for sort of discovering your thing in this season. And this particular Venn diagram has three circles, right? So the circles intersect in the middle. And what we're looking for is kind of where all those three things come together. And the intersection point of those three is what we're kind of searching for. And the first circle talks about what matters to you, right? Which is sort of where I just started, right? What are some things that you feel naturally gifted in, that you feel is truly a gift from God that you get to use for His glory, and again, that brings you joy. The second circle is what matters to God. So when we look to His word and we see what matters to Him, how might that line up with what matters to you? And for me and you, Tara, I'll just stick with our personal example. I love encouraging and equipping women. And And that also matters to God, right? He desires that the gospel continues to go forth and to spread. And so I can see how those two things kind of intersect in some of the work God has me doing. And then in the third bubble, it's what matters to other people, right? When I look at the specific season God has me in, the community that He has placed my feet within in this season, what are some practical needs that I see that might also line up with what matters to God and what matters to me, right? And so maybe it's someone who feels like they have a similar gift to us. They love encouraging women, and they recently heard at their local church they're looking for some new small group leaders, right? And there's some women who need to be discipled within the context of their local church, and maybe that's an opportunity to bring together those three circles and meet a real practical need in a way that matters to God and matters to you, right? And so those are just three bubbles that I think we can kind of walk through with the Lord in discerning what's that thread and how He's gifted us. What of that could we take and use in a way that would build God's kingdom and use our gifts well, and then meet that practical need that we see in the world. So I think that's a little bit of a framework for us to kind of point ourselves to as we have that conversation.
It's a fantastic model. And I even picture it. I just was having a conversation with a high level leader. She loves the Lord. She is running high level in a huge corporation, and she's got two kids. And we were literally, she said out loud, "I don't really know who I am and if I'm supposed to be doing something else." And you think, here's a successful woman who has spent her whole life doing the thing, but she's never taken time to do that Venn diagram to really slow down. And the piece behind that I want to say is probably a lot of people's stories is she didn't have a mom and a dad who was helping her figure that out along the way. So a lot of us in our adulthood are doing this either haphazardly or very intentionally, as you're inviting us to do, Rebecca. And so I'm thinking that Venn diagram would be powerful for parents to even use with their kids.
Absolutely.
And helping them shape and shift and to look into how has God made you? What is He passionate about? And then what are the needs right here and right now? I even see that using in different seasons of life, right? Like when our kids are little, when our kids are out of the house, there's a lot of different, maybe I move communities. So I just love that because it keeps us attuned to God and His heartbeat.
I think so. And I think that's something you touched on it that we don't talk about enough is how our callings and our assignments can shift from season to season. I know me and my husband just recently moved about 7 or 8 months ago. My husband's a lead pastor. And so we've been getting our arms around our new church community and buying a house and doing some renovation there. And so that's shifted and changed my capacity. And that's okay. Right? God saw fit for that transition to happen for us. And so as a result of that, things have looked a little different in the season. I'm watching a book also. And so there's some things I haven't had time for, and they haven't been able to kind of fit in that framework, if you will. And I look forward to the day when maybe that shifts again. But I think you bring up an important point that it does shift and change. And I think that matters for us to call out and say, right? Because there's freedom there does happen.
Yeah. So you're kind of this model or this vehicle that you're giving is not a one and done. It's an examination prayer process that you can go through in different seasons. So I love that. Talk maybe before we shift gears, talk a little bit about how do you know where all those intersect. Like, is there something, I have a lot of people in mind and different ways that people describe this, but how would you help someone understand that this is the thing and it's time to act? Like, what's that moment or that clarity that people need versus this is just something that you're excited about, but it's not necessarily maybe the timing yet? Because I'm thinking, let me just paint the picture of the woman. She has all three of those aligned. Well, she's got three little kids and she's not able, she doesn't have the time or the margin, but all those three things feel really aligned. There's a need, God cares about it, and she's good at it, but the season's not there. So when do you know? When is it time to actually act?
Man, I think this matters so much because, I mean, we talked about this before we hit record. I've wanted to be an author most of my adult life, right? And yet God saw fit for it to happen in this season. And so I think the foundational truth that we have to remember is God's timing many times looks very different than sometimes our preference, right? So I think I would lead with that. And there's an illustration that I think is really helpful, and I won't take credit for it, but my friend Lisa Allen uses this illustration of a rubber band. And the priorities and the assignments that we have in our lives, they all fit within this rubber band, right? And the rubber band stretches. So let's say we're a wife and a mom, and maybe we lead a small group within the context of our local church, and maybe we're leading an organization, or we're a leader within our organization, or maybe our local church. And yet there's this thing that's burning inside of us that we feel called to do. We have to assess that rubber band and how much stretch that exists in this season. And some seasons we've got a little bit of stretch and we can take on an extra project. And where I think we really have to have some forethought there is just praying that God will give us wisdom and discernment in when our rubber band has met its max and how far we can stretch it, right? Because we all know seasons where we have put too many things in our rubber band and it stretches to the point where it breaks. And none of us want that, right? And so I think it's this very frequently reassessing of our rubber band to say, okay, this spring, I think that might be a good time to write that book proposal, or it might be a good time to work on that particular thing, whatever it is that you're feeling kind of pulled to. And again, that being a continual conversation, I think that's what matters more than, a one and done kind of assessment of our capacity, because it does change so often. So I think you bring out a really good point there.
Well, you ended with a great period there of like, yeah, to being attuned to our limitations and the stretching. And yes, we can expand, but we don't want it to snap and break. And so you have to be attuned, listening to what's going on inside and even in your environment around.
We just want to take a moment to tell you about Living Wholehearted. We are a wonderful team of professional counselors and executive coaches who come alongside leaders helping you live with integrity in every area of your life.
Yeah, so our newest member, executive coach, leadership consultant, Joe. Joe has got over 4 decades of senior leadership experience. He's a CEO of CEOs in companies like Verizon, American Airlines, Accenture, and others. Joe is, there's not been a fire or a situation that he hasn't experienced in his decades of senior leadership. And so we love having Joe. Joe brings a quality that I can't bring. I've got a few gray hairs here, but he has a seasoned leadership experience and decades of it. So that's Joe.
Connie has been a writer. She works with women in all sacred and secular spaces. She's got 4 kids. She knows what it's like to be running a career as well as running a home. And she also has launched churches. She understands ministry and work life. She's an incredible executive coach. Rhonda has 30 plus years working as a pastor herself, and she is spending her retirement working on helping pastors and ministry leaders not only develop leaders in their own systems, but to help with sabbaticals and learn rhythms of rest. So you can find more about our coaches, Rhonda at Living Wholehearted, Connie at Living Wholehearted, Joe at Living Wholehearted, and obviously Jeff and Tara at Living Wholehearted. You can go to livingwholehearted.com to read their full bios. But know that if you are a leader and you're looking for something that's more holistic, not a coach who's going to tell you to do more, but to help you learn and grow from the inside out, both from spiritual formation, trauma-informed mental health, and really evidence-based leadership principles that we know work on the ground floor, we are the organization for you.
Okay, so let's talk about when you actually press go to write this book. This was a desire of your heart. You can see that the Lord planted it in you even as a young girl. You've been dreaming about it, but it was delayed or pushed out longer than probably you had wanted, you're alluding to. So how did it happen? Help listeners go, okay, how do I actually get to a place where I'm published and have my first book out in the world?
Yeah. Well, I think every story is different and no path to publishing a book is wrong. So I always start there, right? Sometimes it's a path of going down and self-publishing. Sometimes it's traditional publishing, which is what you and I have both experienced. And so I'd love to hear your story at some point. But for me, I went to my first writing conference about 8 years ago. And that was kind of my first big investment, if you will, in that dream. I went to She Speaks, which is an event put on by Proverbs 31 Ministries for aspiring writers and speakers. And I put together what is called a book proposal, which you and I are both very familiar with, which is essentially, I call it like a business plan for a book, right? It's all the pieces that have to come together and how you would market the book and a synopsis and chapter summaries. And you walk through identifying some books that are kind of in a similar vein to what you want to write, because what you'll quickly notice coming into publishing is there's nothing new under the sun that's not already been written about. And so I think one of the key things is discerning what's the angle and the way that God has called me in this season to speak to this topic. And so it can take a while to get that right. And it certainly did in my case. And so I met with some agents and publishers at that particular event just to get some feedback and some initial reactions to my idea. And it was many, many years after that I reconnected with my agent and I started working with her. So for people kind of walking into publishing new in this space, a literary agent sort of walks alongside you in that process of kind of honing in on your idea and crafting that final book proposal that goes out to publishers. And I started working with my agent in the summer of 2020, I believe. And we spent about a year together working through the idea before we pitched it to publishers. And then from the time you sign a contract to the time the book comes out, it's about 18 months or so. So as far as timing and a little bit of my story, that's kind of the bird's eye view. But I'm an open book, so I love talking about this.
Yeah, and I just think it's fun for, I think, listeners, particularly those, as we're talking about, like, go tune in to what God has called you to do, but trust the timing. And there's things in there. I've talked to people all the time, especially women who want to write, but again, wonder, I don't feel like I'm a good writer, but I have a message, but I don't have a following. So speak to the buts that everybody has, of why they wouldn't write. What would you say to those women?
Yeah. I would say if God has given you a message, you can 100% learn the craft of writing, right? And any, I think, author who has the desire to grow and be a lifelong learner would tell you that that's a continual growing and learning process. That's been the case for me. There's nothing more edifying and sanctifying than walking through the editing process, right? And that can be a crazy part of the process. So there's so much room and space to grow in that. So I absolutely wouldn't let that hold you back. I will say, if you feel that you really want to traditionally publish, we can't ignore that platform is a piece of it, because it certainly is the case for publishers, right? They're looking to authors more than they ever have before to be able to market the message of their book. Whether we love that or not, it's kind of the reality, right? And so what I find myself having conversations about often is, how do we live in that business reality without letting it become an idol in our lives, right? And I do love writing. I love communicating. I hope I'm doing this work in 15 years, right? And so I have to run at a pace that is going to allow for that, right? And so those are conversations that me and my husband are having a lot of, okay, what pace do I run at? What do I commit to? And so that I make sure that I'm not putting myself in a position where I'm going to get burnt out and no longer enjoy the thing that brings me joy that God wired me to do. And so I wonder what that brings out in you as I just like start to unpack that, right?
It's so good. I think you're saying such key things that I think people need to hear. And one of the things I encourage as I'm coaching and helping women kind of take those steps towards their call and their passion, I'm like, there's three categories to me, and I don't know this is anybody's idea, it's just my throwing it out there. But the category is someone who has gifts of communication and really passionate about shepherding with all of these vehicles from social media, podcasting, speaking, blogging, writing. There's a message that you feel called to share, and that is something you're going to do whether you're published or not. So there's that person. And they often are the ones building a larger platform if in terms of that business model. But it's because there's this message and there's passion and this call, and these are beautiful vehicles to do that in. Then there's the writer who just loves writing, and they're gifted in writing, but they're not so much going to sell their book. And I think if God wants to publish your book, there are, you know, we know the difference between a fantastic message and just a really good, well-written book. And I think those writers to just write, do the writing all the time, like engage in your writing, making time for your writing in every morning, once a week, whenever you can, because you're gifted there, and then see what the Lord does in terms of growing the desire to move traditional publishing, or if that's just because of you, and maybe it's for your kids or your grandkids who will read that. We don't know. But the writing is one other lane. And then there's the lane of the person who is just really good at something, and the book ends up coming out of that. And I would say that would be my story, is I actually didn't want to be a writer. I didn't need to be in a book. I didn't even, the social part of my messaging or public platform actually came out of being an author, not because that was my thing, but I was doing the work and staying deep in the trenches. And out of that, I was interviewed for an article in Christianity Today on actually abuse in the church. And it's a hard article about how abusers groom the church and church leaders. And so because that's an area I've spent 20 years working in and helping churches and families and people heal from trauma, I was interviewed, and that's how I got invited to write a book. Is they found out about what we were doing. I was already doing Courageous Girls. I was already doing Living Wholehearted. I was doing the thing, and out of that. And so I see these authors that come out of all these different places, and I think there's no right way. Yeah. But I think it's living into what your message is what is God asking you to do? And do the thing. So let's get back on that. How do you do the thing with a gospel-centered core rather than it being out of our own flesh and will?
Yeah. Well, as I have fleshed out having so many conversations about this message, I think there are some things that I come back to, just some foundational truths, even just about the character of God, that I think really matter as a foundation for us as we desire to be faithful doing the thing, and particularly for women. So if you're a man coming to this conversation, maybe this will help your wife. If you are a woman coming to the conversation, I think you'll identify with this tension of we want to wear all the hats and do all the things well. And I just have seen over the last, I don't know, maybe 10 years, just quite a few books and a lot of ink spilt over this idea of pursuing our calling and living out our purpose and all of those things, which is beautiful. But for me, some of those messages have just left me exhausted rather than equipped to do the thing in a gospel-centered way. And so the thing that I have continued to come back to is this aspect of God's character, that He is infinite, that He is limitless in all of His ways, which I'm so thankful for. And the reality that we have to live in is we are very finite and we have very real limits and capacity. And so as we look to do the thing with a gospel-centered perspective, I think that is one of the core truths that I hope to point women back to, is remembering that it's not all on us or up to us to accomplish God's agenda. We get to partner with Him in His work, and we get to use those gifts and talents that He's given us. But there's a quote in the book that says, the outcome is His, but the obedience is ours, right? The outcome is not on us or up to us to muster up or strive to achieve, but we get to partner with Him in that. But the obedient next steps of faith that we sense from the Lord as he gives us that wisdom and discernment, as we talked about earlier, that is the part that's on us, that we get to take that next step, even when it feels scary, even when we're unsure of the outcome, which is shocker most of the time. And I think that's the tension that we have to live in. And I think the foundational truth that we have to stand on.
It's so good, Rebecca. And I think going countercultural, even in a lot of the church language that we use, and I hear the myths and the lies that women believe, which is, you know, I could miss it. You know, if we don't see the results. So I'll confess, I hadn't seen the results of our books in the way that maybe traditional publishing would love to see. Our books were released in 2020 in the middle of COVID. Yeah. It was released February 20th. We had a huge conference in March, and literally the weekend that our conference happened, the state shut down. So here's the reality of, did I decide that? No, but I obeyed. And God's in charge of the outcome. And so the wrestling that happens when we step out and we have courage to say, okay, yes, Lord, I'll do the thing. But then we have the practice of having to trust the outcome. And sometimes it's incredibly better than we could ever ask or imagine. And sometimes it's not so much, because, I mean, I look at the book of Hebrews chapter 11, majority of the church, you know, fathers and mothers and the things that they stepped out and the heroes, the hall of faithers, didn't see the results of their obedience until heaven. And so I love this message, and I think it's foundational, and it's a reminder that your job is to step out, and God's job is to take care of all the rest. So why don't you end with a maybe encouragement or an example from your own story when you think about obeying and trusting God with the results that you want to end with?
Yeah, I'll give the one that's just coming to mind. I use a lot of stories in the book about running. I am a runner, and I have just learned so much, and God has taught me so much in and through running. And a reminder that has just stuck with me that, and I just love this story, was in one of my marathons, I got pretty far into the race. I was at about mile 20. So for our friends who don't know the distance of a marathon, it's 26.2 miles. So definitely an exercise in just endurance, right? And we all experience just those moments of endurance in our calling when it's really hard, but we have to choose to stand on those biblical truths to help us endure. And in this particular marathon, I was running the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital marathon in Memphis, Tennessee. And a couple places throughout the race, patients and their families line the streets, and it's really special. And I got to that 20-mile marker, which some people call it the wall, that you kind of hear people refer to. And I hit the wall. I was very tired and was just experiencing heat exhaustion symptoms and was just so exhausted. I truly didn't know if I was going to be able to finish. And I saw this family. I could close my eyes and picture exactly where I was on the course. They were standing underneath a bridge, and the little girl was in a wheelchair. And as I got closer and closer to her, I realized she was holding a poster in her hands and was cheering for me. And her poster said, "The same power that raised Jesus from the grave is living inside of you. You can do this." The same power that raised Jesus from the grave, the Holy Spirit, is living inside of you. You can do this. And so for those remaining 6.2 miles, as I put just one foot in front of the other, I just continued to say that biblical truth to myself over and over again, of remembering that the Holy Spirit resides in us as followers of Christ. And we're not alone in our persevering and our enduring in the hard moments of our calling. And some of my moments of endurance in my calling feel a lot like those moments in the end of that marathon. And I think that's the case for a lot of us. And so I just would want to leave women with, and listeners with, that truth of remembering that the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the grave, is alive and at work in us. And again, it's not all on us or up to us. We get to partner with God in our work. And that's just such a gift.
I love that story, and even who that message was coming from is so significant. One of the patients. So I would love for you to share, where do people find you, Rebecca George, and your book, Do the Thing? And we'll make sure that's in the show notes as well.
Sure, I would love to. So I'm the most active over on Instagram. My handle is at Rebecca George Author. You can grab the book anywhere you like to buy books, Amazon, Christian Book, Barnes & Noble. And we are actually doing some really special conversations over on the Radical Radiance podcast about each individual chapter of the book. We'll be releasing them in the weeks to come. So probably by the time this airs, they'll be out. And so if you're reading and you want to dig in more on a specific topic, I'd love to have you over there.
I love it. Okay, we'll have that all in the show notes. Thank you so much for writing this message, for taking steps of obedience and faith and having courage to finish and keep running this race. So thank you for who you are too, Rebecca. I really appreciate this conversation.
Me too. Thank you for having me, Tara.
Yeah. Well, we love having you each week, and thank you for joining us in these podcasts as we're learning to shrink the integrity gap between who we are and how we actually live, all rooted in grace, whether we do that at home, at work, or in our community, because wherever we have a following, we are a leader, and how we live and lead matters. So continue to join us. I'm looking forward to the conversations ahead, and it's been a gift to have Rebecca on today. And we'll make sure all the references that she has will be in the show notes. Until next week, be the leader you would follow.
This podcast is powered by Living Wholehearted, Courageous Girls, and the Christian Parenting Podcast Network. Thank you for joining us in this critical movement of shrinking our integrity gaps between what we preach and live.